But he's not that character. If he's trying to be that guy, I get it, but he's not. He's trying to compete with Conker, and he's trying to compete with Mario.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
You can't put a coffee sip in there because we're professionals.
It was
professionals
a joke.
Drink coffee?
Well, sure.
Of course they do.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Nolan stepped up his game with
Slurpee
Sound.
He's mad I don't have a fork in my cup.
Yeah. Episode 237 is this. And that's how I talk. This is a Patreon pool.
Pool.
And the Pokemon Company has done it again.
Sued somebody?
Nice, Kenny. All right. With its first release in 1999 for the Nintendo 64... Pokemon Snap is returning with the new Pokemon Snap, this time for Switch. This spinoff takes you to a variety of locales where you can research Pokemon in their natural habitats. It's developed by Bandai Namco Studios, which has partnered with Nintendo in the past for other games like Super Smash Bros. And so far, we do not have a release date. I've got a few questions for you boys. Do you care about Pokemon? Did you play the original? And will you play the new Pokemon Snap?
Do I care about Pokemon? Yes. Did I play the original? Yes. Very good game. Will I play the new one? No.
Yes.
Probably not.
What if
just
it's on Switch for like $29?
Yeah, sure.
It'll be like
it'll be 60. Which is fine. People are going to like it, but I'm not going to pay that to play it. I'm not looking for a Pokemon Snap game. I'll maybe watch someone stream it.
Kind of, but not really. Nah. Almost certainly no.
Okay, let's go back to the first one, Mr. Pokemon Go. Mr. Have
yeah.
files with, like, lists of tactics.
Mr.
Like,
Professor Oak.
Listen, yeah. I went hard at Go for, like, I don't know, a couple of months. But
you
that's
went?
My main experience with Pokemon.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, wait, what? That Kenny was into Pokemon a little bit or that they're redoing Pokemon Snap?
That his only exposure to Pokemon is Pokemon Go. But I think that a lot of people's first experience
wait,
was...
I mean, it wasn't my first experience with Pokemon, but it was my most in-depth experience with Pokemon. For sure.
Have you beaten any of the, like, did you play Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, Green, Sapphire,
Phoenix?
I
played parts of them. I didn't play through any of them completely. No.
So Pokemon Go is the Pokemon game that you've most played?
Yes.
Okay.
You and beat now, Pokemon Go.
You beat you Pokemon Go. And now new Pokemon Snap will be the next one?
No.
Listen, you're maybe. Sleeping on it because, Nolan, let's talk then. Pokemon Snap for the Nintendo 64 was great.
It was amazing.
It was the, not extension, but the whatever, side project that no one asked for
mm-hmm.
and that everybody loved. Like, yeah. It was so chill. It was a short game. You could beat it in like a couple of hours, but it's literally where you go in these environments and you're on a cart and you have to take pictures of Pokemon in their own environment, but there were so many Easter eggs to find and hidden Pokemon to find and to fill out the full Pokedex. Like, you've got to know some like in-depth secrets of that game.
Yeah,
it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was unique. Like you said, no one asked for it, but when you played it, you're like, all right, I can get behind this.
And I love that no one then asked for, hey, we need a new one. Or maybe fans did, but I don't think when it comes to Pokemon that most people are saying we need a new Pokemon Snap
right.
game.
Yep.
And we're getting a new Pokemon Snap game from good developers.
I'm hyped about anything that's on Switch that's getting a lot of love.
It's By the way, too. Do you think anybody's sold their Switch saying, you know what, there's just not enough here for
Dude,
me?
Dude, I know. It's such a good console. Like. What?
And it's continuing to get better.
Yes.
Like it's got, and like not only are they coming up with new stuff that's good for the Switch, they're bringing over stuff from other things that is nice to play on the Switch.
And it's indie? Like, they're
tons
open
of
to indie
tons
games?
Of retro.
Can I call it here? Next console for Switch. From Nintendo.
Okay. Is he going VR and augmented?
No,
he always
not VR.
Does
augmented reality, because everybody else is going to go VR, and that's not unique and Nintendo enough. And people are going to scoff at first, and then it's going to be super good, but kind of a sleeper.
You think that Nintendo's going to usher in the next generation of video gaming as we know it?
Yes, but on their off console cycle. It's not going to get popular, but it's going to revolutionize how video games play.
I felt like they did that with the cardboard thing.
Labo? I can't knock it. I've never tried it.
Back.
But no.
I'm excited for Pokemon fans. I think Pokemon Snap was a great game. New Pokemon Snap will be great. I like you, Nolan. I'm not gonna like drop $60,000 on it. But
what kind of games are you guys buying?
maybe I'll play it eventually. I do know it's gonna be a quality game. Bandai, Namco, Pokemon Snap.
Namco's so good.
All of that. I know that I'll be able to tell within the first 15 minutes of watching the game or playing the game whether or not it holds up to its namesake. Do you know what else that I can do within 15 minutes?
What's that?
I mean, all sorts of things.
For all of us, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Yeah.
That's true. It could.
By what?
By what? Oh, no, there's a gecko in here. Gecko in here. Like in our retro game of the week,
no,
Gex.
No, enter it the was better before you swap, please.
Enter the gecko.
Overview.
Gex, enter the gecko.
A video game?
You're doing it for me.
I'm helping you.
Gex, enter the gecko is, yep, it's a game. Came out in 1998. On the PlayStation, also on the Nintendo 64, and also on Microsoft Windows and the Game Boy Color. It was one of those games that just came out across the board. It was developed by a company called Crystal Dynamics, which is a company responsible for some of the Tomb Raider games. I think it became a subsidiary of...
No, oh,
I
which
thought
is
he
a
was
company?
Stop.
Who is a company?
I was like, well said, Nolan. He got there.
I think Square Enix might own them now, but they made some games, most notably the Gex series. This is a sequel to the first Gex game. It's not called Gex 2, but it's Gex 2. The N64 version was called Gex 64. That was the one I played.
It's called a few different things. It's Return of the Gecko, Gex 64,
Gex
3D, and then Gex Enter the Gecko. Like, it's all of those. And... it, like you said, it's primarily PlayStation and Nintendo 64. There's a PC like port or whatever that is the same as the PlayStation. And then the Game Boy Color, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
a totally different kind of experience.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation and Nintendo 64, those are the two main ones. But there are some major differences between the two, which is interesting. Like, it's the same game, but Nintendo 64 has a lot less of it than the PlayStation version, which I played this week,
yeah,
the PlayStation version.
Big same. Part of that is cart. Like, it's
that's
just
the big, yeah, that's
yeah,
the
it just
part
doesn't
of it.
Hold much. And so they had to cut a whole bunch of bonus content. And then in doing that, they shuffled around some things, got rid of some levels, put some other levels in. Yada,
put
yada.
One other level in. They cut multiple levels, main levels, bonus stages, and everything. They
like
cut
80%
so
of the voice lines.
Voice lines, which is this game. And they cut some of the music tracks. They cut all cutscenes and then just added one Titanic underwater stage.
You could have just said they cut scenes. Otherwise, it's okay. A double negative.
Nolan, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So the versions are different. I think the Game Boy Color release is stupid because it was just like, oh yeah, there's a handheld, let's put it on that. This game does not need to be on the Game Boy Color. I'm sorry. But we do have a lot of differences here, and that happened with a lot of games around this time. I think whenever this like new version or new wave of 3D gaming was becoming the standard, like the PlayStation version would always be different from N64. for some reason. And in this case, it sounds like I got the short end of the stick growing up. But I played on PlayStation 1 as well this week. This game, you play as the titular character. Look at me.
Or eponymous.
What is that?
I don't know. I used it like a week or two ago, and then I looked it up after to just to make sure that it was good, and it was. Kenny doesn't even know, though. It's one of those that are kind of above his pay grade.
Oh, above his pay
grade. I'm actually paid very little.
Eponymous is giving their name to something. So it's pretty much, it's okay. Comparable, but not identical to Tit Chiller.
Okay, so you play the Titch and the Epon, Gex. Yep. Gex is a gecko.
15% or more in car
15%
insurance.
Or more on car insurance. We'll help you save it. And he's like a James Bond kind of character. So, yes, we're playing another game that is parodying James Bond. Why are we
in a row?
I mean, it plays off of it, but like his character isn't James Bond.
The music is almost identically
on the hub world.
On the hub
not
world.
Not all throughout.
No,
which,
but still.
It's funny. It's funny. Not only is it like a parody or derivative of it, it's like last week's game, James Pond, in the sense of they don't carry it through the entire game. It's just a little
just
bit James
there.
Pond. I mean, it's a little bit James Bondish.
But they did it better than James Pond, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
My goodness.
Well,
I didn't think twice about it this week. I just thought it was ridiculous that we're playing two games that are... Anyways, so Gex is this agent, and because this is the sequel, he retired from the first game. By the way, didn't say it's a 3D platform action adventure game. It's classified as a platformer, but it's like many of the games at this time, like Mario 64 and like Banjo-Kazooie, where you have a hub world and you go to the different levels from that hub world and you unlock by collecting and finishing the objectives in those stages. And so Gex is returning from the first game. He retired after beating the villain in the first one. And guess what? Oh, no. Villain's back.
He's back.
The villain is back. And so Gex has to fight Rez and stop Rez from, I don't know. I literally don't know. He just has to stop him. I think it would help to play the first game, maybe. So, yeah, these agents come and wake your try to get Gex out of his retirement slum, and you have to go stop Rez.
You said he's a James Bond character, but I don't really think of his character as a James Bond type. I feel like the smart aleck lizard that's trying to be like funny.
Are geckos lizards?
But yeah.
Warm-blooded or cold-blooded?
Cold.
Dragons?
I mean...
You sure not dinosaurs?
Can be. Kind... Okay. Regardless, he's not primarily a spy hero. Like, that's just sort of what his character does. He's a trying to be funny, like smart aleck, hip, late 90s, like funny character.
Is the accent British or Australian? I know those are two very different. Wait, no. The Geico is Australian.
Two very different ones. Those are two very different.
I'm getting confused. Accents.
Okay.
The Geico is absolutely Australian.
Okay. What is this one?
I don't know.
Gecko.
I'm not...
It's probably not even an accent. I'm getting the two confused at this point.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of both this
I feel
week.
Like he doesn't have an accent at all.
He just does lots of voices
because they got a well-known voice actor.
VA.
Yes.
What we call him
They got a BDVA, a big deal voice actor. That's what we call it.
A BAVA. Anyways, so this game was submitted by one of our patrons this week, as it is a Patreon pool. Second of the summer, I believe. Carrie Clanton gave us this game to play. And
thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, bud.
Gameplay.
Gex Enter the Gecko is a hub world type game. Think, we can think this, right, Nolan? Mario 64. Is that what it's called? Super, what is it called? Super Mario 64?
Yes.
Think that in which you've got a hub world. This is the media dimension is his hub world. And instead of paintings as the different portals to the stages, you've got TVs, these big TVs that are portals to the stages, each with their own genre.
Which is kind of fun. It sets up a huge variety of worlds to be in and gives him sort of an excuse to do kind of parodies of different sort of well-known media tropes.
It's the perfect setup, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, right, if you're going to create a character that is all about these mid-90s, late-90s kind of like quotes and all of that, then put him in different TV-themed worlds. I think that works perfectly, thematically at least. So you've got various stages. You've got like a cartoon stage that is heavily inspired by Looney Tunes in this one. I mean, I guess not even heavily. Like you come up against almost, Elmer Fudd.
You're full on knocking off Looney Tunes. There's no question.
In a bunny suit. Elmer Fudd's not in the bunny suit. The lizard is, which I don't know still if geckos are lizards. But you've got a horror haunted house type experience. A kung fu type experience, future sci-fi. So there's a bunch of different just like, and it's, they're not all specifically showed, like themed based on a show, but more like on a genre again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of them a little more heavily. The Indiana Jones one seems pretty specifically Indiana Jones. But again, I guess maybe I'm just thinking of titles that are like define their genre. And so you're probably right.
Sure.
And so the stages aren't just like, okay, go through the stage, complete it. It's, again, like some of these other hub world games like Mario 64, though I like the Banjo-Kazooie comparison more just because Mario 64 is really good and it's bigger. And in this one, it kind of limits you a little more. But in the stages, you're doing different, quote-unquote, missions. Basically, you just need to do these objectives like collect a certain amount of an item or like beat a specific enemy or just get to a certain part of the stage. And so there's variety in how you're playing the game. That's what I always liked about these games is that you're not just going from the beginning to end like a Sonic game or something. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just kind of keeps things fresh. Not having to do this exact same thing every time.
I appreciated the kind of quest-based approach. It made it feel a little bit less like a collectathon, which some of these run into, and had elements of that. You're still trying to find all of these items and picking them up, and that's how you're getting extra lives, and that's sort of one of the primary things you're doing, but it didn't feel game defining in this one like it has on some others.
I agree.
We're talking about it being like quest based or task based again, and maybe Banjo-Kazooie has it. You'll have to remind me. I know Super Mario 64 does, in that the stars that you're trying to get in Super Mario 64 are based on different tasks that you have to complete on any given stage. That's the same thing here, except instead of stars, you've got these red remote controls, and it gives you a hint as to how to get that red remote. And so it's not always like extremely clear. Like, it doesn't tell you exactly what to do. Like on the Looney Tunes stage, it says one of them is like defeat the two hunters or something like that. Well, there's two Elmer Fudd type characters on the stage, and if you defeat them, then the red remote shows up on the stage that you can go get. As soon as you get it, it kicks you from the stage, doesn't it? Which I didn't love.
It makes you start over again.
Yeah, I didn't love that either. I mentioned that in my first
one. On Super Mario 64, don't you get to choose if you stay in the stage?
No, they do it too.
They kick you too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get a star, the stage is over. Hmm. I always wished that. Yeah.
Maybe like there's a coding thing there that it's just a lot easier to reset the stage or something like that. Probably. So I get it then, especially if they do it there. In Banjo-Kazooie, is it task-based like that? I don't think it is it?
It's more of like, it's more centered around collection. Kenny's right. Yeah. And it's like a threshold. Yeah.
But there's some of that.
It's not
you're
quite
not doing
like,
it to get a star or a. Well, they got those jigsaw pieces.
I got the puzzle pieces. It's similar, but it's more like Mario 64 in this one, in that it's like very specifically do this and get a remote.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a quick side note. I did a first play this week and didn't know if I played the game or not. I recognized the box art, but. Other than that, I was like, yeah, maybe not. But I saw the TVs. I saw the world, the first one.
And it connected something?
Something clicked, yeah, in my mind. And I was like, I've played this game so much. I used to rent this game. This was a renter, 1,000%.
It was a rental for me, too, but yeah. Big time. Like, I knew that I had played this game. Fond memories of renting it, having it at home on the PlayStation for me. 64 for you, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And this is my prime, like, childhood gaming era. Mm-hmm. Like, late 90s PlayStation, that's when I'm playing every day for multiple hours at before and after school. And so this is one of the ones that I had fond memories of, along with games like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro, jerks, you two jerks.
Hey.
And other games that defined the era for me.
Hey, my wife was mad at me about Spyro. We were talking about Spyro recently, and I said, "Oh yeah, we did that on the podcast." And I mentioned not giving it New Game Plus. She was like, "You're an idiot." It's like, okay, it's fair.
How about we talk what you can do with Gex? Like, yeah. What are his like abilities, or what? How do you maneuver him? What is he control like?
Simple and satisfying. That's my tagline. Go ahead, Kenny.
Simple and satisfying.
Oh, I was gonna give some specific examples. You can spin around and hit things with your tail. You can jump. You can do like a jump karate kick thing.
Yeah, y'all found that out.
So you can
climb certain walls, which is super gecko-y and really satisfying. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
And when, in a lot of games, when you get close to a ledge in a platformer, you can grab on with your hand, but instead of your hand, Gex uses his tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can catch bugs with your tongue, too, which is a big thing. That was what I was forgetting.
I don't know if you can attack with your tongue, but, yeah, when there's, like, little flies flying around, colored flies, you can zip them up with your tongue, and then they power you up. You've got a few different power-ups, like you can catch on fire or turn to ice. I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but it looks cool for a little bit. I think it makes you invulnerable for 30 seconds or something like that. And then you can also like suck up certain flies that give you more lives or whatever. But also not just jump, but you've got that like tail bounce that you can not only bounce on enemies and kill them, but it helps you to get higher and to higher platforms. Yeah.
And so, like I said, they didn't go crazy. I mean, I guess there's not a ton to do here.
Like you said, yeah.
But, like, it worked. Like, I loved the karate kick. It felt fluid. And sometimes these games, these, like, early era or 3D era PS1 games can feel non-responsive. But, and it at times it did, because you do have a camera you're fighting against. It's that kind of camera game. But... despite that, I felt like pretty solidly in control of Gex this week. It was nice. Something else that he does that we didn't talk about is clever voice lines. And we kind of mentioned it in an overview.
I think that's Kenny's domain, right?
It's got to be Kenny's domain.
It's not just something he does. It's something he does incessantly.
Every time
you take an action or touch something or walk somewhere or think about continuing to play the game, he's pulling out a little quip.
I don't know why people complain about this. I get it if they played it on Nintendo 64, because it's literally went from 500 recorded voice lines to... Wait, hold on. No, it went... Okay, this is what it was. He had recorded over 700 one-liners for the PlayStation and PC. They cut over 500 for the Nintendo 64.
We should point out this is Dana Gould.
Dana Gould, comedian.
Yeah, comedian, real popular at the time. We talked about him as a BAVA, but didn't drop his name before, so I thought we should mention that.
Yes. And so, like, they're... I get... Here's the thing. That's what makes this character, and that's what this game is about. So,
absolutely.
If you're playing on the Nintendo 64 and have limited voice lines, so you're hearing the same ones over and over again, I get how that can be annoying. Or if that's just not your thing. But if you are playing this game, Gex is going to have these one-liner quips that, at least in a week's game time, I didn't get tired of. I thought it was hilarious. I didn't even know a lot of the references, but the ones that I did get were funny and charming and just added to his character
in
the game.
That was the thing for me. I normally feel like I would love that, but these were 100% late 90s situational. Like, really,
which
heavy.
At the time, think about how good that would be. Like, hearing,
is fine, but it's 2020 now. We've got other things that we're worried about.
So, okay, let's talk about that in aged.
None of the jokes work anymore.
Yes, yes. So, fine. One of the things, when you take out an enemy, he might randomly spout something like, "That's for 12 years of Full House," after killing someone. "That's for 12 years of Full House." Another thing, he'll be like, "Put that in your pipe and smoke it." You know, just dumb things like that. When he gets caught on fire, he says, "I'm flaming," in a manly way. I don't know if that's appropriate, but he's got, again, 700 lines, some based on the action that you're doing as Gex, and then some that are specifically for the stages that you're in based on what you're doing.
But he's saying them all the time.
All the time.
And even then, you're getting repeats. And even then, only 10% of them are still sort of funny.
The only repeats I'm getting is "it's tell time" before going in each stage.
It's tell time. Look, I want that because it adds to Gex as a character. Many of these companies, dev teams, whatever, try to create this new lovable character that they want to franchise out of, that they want to compete with Mario and Banjo and all these other, you know, characters. And they end up falling flat because they just have a cool design or a unique design. But then, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care about this character. Like, for instance, what's the squirrel's name from that inappropriate game? Conker. Like, that one. I mean, I don't remember if any of y'all liked him, but like, I was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, I thought he's good.
He was fine. But then you have some that are just like super stale and don't even talk. But in this one, when you start a stage, Gex even turns to the camera to look at you to tell you a joke. And I loved it every time. I was like, come on, Gex, what do you got for me?
I do like breaking the fourth wall. I don't generally like that, like, crude sort of middle school humor style, but I thought Conker was more, I don't know, self-aware and more less dated. Like, all of the references felt like they were stuck exactly in the 90s.
Are you about fart jokes, Kenny?
Yes.
Well, I am. But in the starting cutscene, they do one. But that's not what this...
But he's not that character. If he's trying to be that guy, I get it, but he's not. He's trying to compete with Mario.
I don't think it's this humor either, Dustin. I was just checking to see how Kenny was judging this.
You've got dozens of voice lines for example, the Prehistory Channel. And so, like... And they are all late 90s references, sure. But still, I think that if you're playing today, again, we're talking about this in gameplay rather than aged, which is problematic. I do think that you're going to miss some of those, especially for a younger audience. I still think that it can be funny and that the character feels not alive necessarily, but like, maybe alive. It's not just this rote, again, on PlayStation, it's not just this line over and over and over again. It's fluid based on what you're doing, not always connecting to the exact thing that you're doing. But I just love, like, on the Prehistory Channel, he'll come in and say, "In a land before time, when Saturday Night Live was funny." And obviously, that is just, that's a reference. He'll say, "Welcome to Jurassic Park," or just different things that are completely that, but it's silly, it's living, it's funny, it's active. I don't know. I think it works, again, with the character and the theme that they're going for in the big picture.
Yes. Now, back to something a little more relevant to gameplay before we move on. Level design. I think that's a really big one to talk about here because, to me, I value level design so much more than, like, many other elements in a game. And, because each stage is a parody or a reference to a genre or television show, I think they really kind of pressured themselves here, maybe unnecessarily, where they needed to make it a really good level, both on theme, but also, like, it has to be fun. It has to make sense. And to me, the theme's fine. I actually just think the design of the stage was fantastic. in the way that they laid out the collectibles, which were on theme. They changed depending on which stage you were in. So like on the Indiana Jones one, you had like gems, and on the scary one, you had tombs or something. Perfect. And then, but also like they're guiding you where to go. I always appreciate that, because sometimes it's not that I get lost in these stages. They're not massive, but I don't know, that to me, placing coins where they need to be to guide you where to go is good level design. And they did that.
And not only that, the thing that I love most, because I'm not a collect-a-thon type of gamer. I don't typically enjoy it at all. Red coins, for example, again, Mario 64, mm-hmm. not my favorite part of that, because there's only those few red coins that you've got to find. And so, like, it's only those. In this, what I loved is that it is a collect-a-thon. Like, I won't say that it's not. You've got, in fact, you've got a lot. Like, there's on each stage, you've got three different sets of 50 tokens that you have to collect. And it's what you were saying, Nolan, of like gems or the tombstones or whatever. And then after you collect 50, it changes to the next 50 that you have to get. Well, they're abundant. It's not just those 50 or those 150 that you have to find on a stage. They'll keep spawning. They'll come out of the enemies. They're everywhere. So I could get them just on a normal playthrough while just being aware of them being in my surrounding. I don't have to go searching every nook and cranny for them. I just pick them up pretty much without even trying. And so I appreciated that, so that I didn't feel like I was just wasting time searching every corner of every stage.
Yeah, that balance of like exploration and getting to give you hidden stuff versus punishing you for not like looking at every single little thing is a kind of hard thing to do. And I generally prefer games that err on this side, that have a little bit of that, but that let you kind of just play the game and not worry about that as like a primary factor, but really as like a bonus. So I agree, Nolan. The level design seemed really thoughtful. I also appreciated how much variety there was. You got different types of things you were doing, different like mechanics, world to world, some similar sorts of things, but different platforms in one that might fall, or different things you can jump on in one than you get in another, stuff that moves, walls you can suddenly climb that are different, that your whole perspective changes and you weren't expecting that. They did a really good job of not just changing like the skin as you went from area to area, but really changing how the levels played. And that's a really big deal to me in making these types of games not stale.
Aged.
We've talked about the dated references, and I get it. I get Kenny's point. I do think that modern gamers coming back to play this, if they didn't live through especially some of those 90s, the 90 era, then a lot of this is going to be missed on you. However, my argument still remains that I think it still adds character and spunk and spark to what could be an otherwise flat character that you don't want flat in a 3D, in a new 3D, in Gex's first 3D adventure. You want someone that is built out fun, funny, silly. And I think it works, again, especially for the theme of TV show movies. I just think it works.
Yeah, like there were a couple references that I didn't know, and I was born in the early 90s, and I still enjoyed it and trusted that the writer of these jokes, that it was quality, because the ones that I did get, like the SNL one, was like a really good zinger.
Well, it's still perfectly voice actor is really, really good.
Oh, so good.
It's not like you're having, for me, it's not torturous, like you're having to listen to it. It's fun either way because he does it so well.
It's his delivery,
Gex,
yeah.
Yeah, it's his delivery. And Gex does so many different voices as well. Like I know on one, in the water one, he talks about his bad hip, like rusting or something like that. But he does it in an old man's voice. Like he's having fun with it. And it really made Gex an enjoyable and fun, annoying at times, but fun character for me.
Annoying.
But and fun.
This man.
It wasn't the only thing that annoyed me. I also felt like sound effects were a little heavy-handed. They were fun, but yeah, went pretty big. Like they were doing this kind of crazy character, and so they leaned into that with like big crazy sounds. And there were times that I was just like, guys, it's just a little too much.
I disagree. again. Yeah. I think it has to fit, like, because we're committing and we're going there and it's going to get silly, but we're here to have fun. Like, of course they had to do the cartoony sound effects. It had to be loud and obnoxious at times. The like licking noise when he's pulling himself up on the ledge has to sound pretty gross. Like, I'm so fine with the sound effects that they went with. The quality of them might be a little dated, just, but that's just because of the hardware, but like just the fact that they're in there, let's go. Yeah.
I thought the music was good. The hub world, we already mentioned, it is reminiscent of a James Bond type theme.
It was pretty good.
And then your Looney Tunes stage is reminiscent of like just a fun, bouncy Looney Tunes type thing. Like, I think they did well with the music. And then, Nolan, you had mentioned earlier the handling of this game. So you're on PlayStation, so you don't have that analog support, which is missed, right? But again, we don't have that yet. So it's D-pad only, and you are controlling the camera with L1 and R1. I feel like you have pretty good control of it, but I have seen a regular complaint of camera controls here. But I think it's also just the era that it came out on.
Yeah, yep. I was frustrated by it, but not nearly as bad as games that do it as actually
some
poorly.
Other ones.
Yeah,
right.
It was bearable. You adjust to it and get used to it. I still moved the camera the wrong way for a little while until I kind of set into it. It was annoying, and it drove me crazy, but it wasn't the worst example of that we've seen. It also wasn't the best. Like, the camera's just hard to do at this point in games.
Yeah, everyone was just like, camera, I don't know. But I used the first, it wasn't first person quite, but it was like right.
That triangle where it pulls it right behind its head.
Yeah, the free look triangle thing. I used that quite a bit. I thought it was pretty great to have that option instead of just like slowly turning with right or slowly turning with left.
Right. And then on top of that, you've got like three or four different camera presets that you can change it to within your options. So like they give you a lot of options. I think that for the time, this does it really well, although it's still noticeable for sure. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how this game looked, because lots of time N64, PlayStation, depending on kind of when in the cycle you came and just how hard you tried, you can get some really rough polygony kind of stuff going on, and I felt like they avoided that pretty well here.
Why do you feel that way?
I don't know, it just looked good. The gecko like was pretty solid.
The gecko,
and
he's a come
gecko.
On
Gex, yeah, Gex doesn't look sharp and polygony. Some of the stages do, I felt like, and maybe some of the enemies.
At a few places, but again, relative to like the world that this was plopped into, I felt like they did a pretty good job on all of that. And I don't know, I liked how it looked. The fact that they reskinned it with a bunch of different themes helped. It kept it fresh. And overall, it was bright without being obnoxious and clear what you were trying to do. And I liked the visuals here.
Here's my take on why I think the visuals don't feel that way, because I agree with you, Kenny. The colors. This was an extremely colorful game, and I think, I don't know why, but a lot of these 3D games on this console and on N64 took more of a like muted color, a muted tone, like it was a little darker. I'm even thinking Ocarina of Time. That game looks great to me, but it's not this vibrant. And I think, like, I don't know if it was just simply that distracted me from paying attention to the polygons or what, but it worked. Like, I just enjoyed the colors in this game.
If you're looking for, well, you know what? I should have looked for both PlayStation and Nintendo 64. If you're looking for a PlayStation disc, you can get it for about $20 to $25, brand new for around $50, so it's not a problem at all. I didn't check for cartridges N64, but don't. I think that if you're going to play this game, I mean, you might want it for your collection, but N64 is not the way to go with this game. In fact, the ratings of the game rankings of when it came out, the N64 version got considerably less rankings than the PlayStation version.
Wow.
So if you're going to play this game and go back to it, play the PlayStation version. If not, you're going to be missing multiple stages, multiple voice lines, cutscenes, and many other things.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. That's our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Does require two-thirds of the vote to swing one way or the other. Kenny, I am interested to know where you're going to land with this one.
So am I. I think this game is a well-made game. I think in the late 90s, it totally fit and had an audience. I don't think that has transferred to the future as well as you guys would make it sound earlier. The jokes were too heavy-handed. The character, though he tried to be fun, didn't hook me. And I just felt like I was trying to enjoy something outside of the context of that thing the whole time. So I think this is a really well-made game. I think some people will like it. It's good, not great. But I didn't enjoy myself. The just tone of this game didn't work for me, and I got annoyed all the time with all of the things. It's probably a little too easy. There's a number of things I could roll my eyes at. But at the same time, you look at everything they did, and it's a pretty good game. And so I have a hard time knocking it outside of my preference. And I never know what to do with that. But ultimately, I always say, like, was it fun? And for me, it wasn't fun. I'm going to say it didn't travel well enough forward in time. No New Game Plus from me, though the game is good enough to possibly deserve it.
Oh, boy. Okay. Nolan?
Based on what you said, Kenny, it sounds like I was arguing that this game holds up because it's still relevant in terms of its humor, and that's the best part of the game. I don't think that is why it deserves New Game Plus. I think it deserves New Game Plus because it's a fun platformer. It just so happens to have a really nice character and nicely voiced character that adds this extra layer of quality that a lot of these types of games lack. I just think it's a fun platformer. I think exploring the level is incredibly fun. I didn't even start to scratch the surface. I only got to the karate, whatever.
Yeah, kung fu type.
The kung fu stage. Area. I think there's so many more stages. And so, like, there's plenty of fun to be had in this game. And that's why I think it deserves New Game Plus. This needs a remake. I want a remake of Gex in 2020 with updated references.
I'll agree I'd play the remake.
Like, yeah, think about that. Like, better graphics, obviously. Same stages. But a new, maybe the same voice actor, I don't know. With new jokes, like more relevant jokes. That would be crazy good. Anyways, regardless, I think this game is so fun and should be played. New Game Plus.
From what I gather, it is the best, it is considered the best Gex game. There is the original Gex, which is a 2D, it's this 3D Gex, and then there's a third Gex game as well. But this one is generally loved most by critics and fans alike. I think that it is a great representation of late 90s PlayStation platforming goodness.
Absolutely. Oh.
And again, it was my era to play games heavily. And while I was starting to get more and more into RPGs, you need, like, the heavy RPG, you need a break every once in a while to play something fun and light and silly.
You were taking breaks from FF7 for this.
I was taking breaks of FF7 for this.
He was not.
You need breaks from those kinds of games. And Gex and other games did it. It's a perfect rental. And so if you're trying, but also I think it's a great game. And then it's got a password system and a save feature, which I don't know if you need both, but thankfully it's got a save feature. It's got checkpoints. They just did so many things well here. I don't think it's a good game because of the voice acting and because of the, like, very dated lines. But I do think that adds to its character and charm, especially for a boy that was a fan of mid to late 90s media. So I definitely do give it my vote for New Game Plus status. What, Kenny?
Oh, I was going to just agree with you that it's a great rental game. That's part of why they even put a password system in, I think, so that you don't have to have local saves. You can pick up your progress. But that being said, no one rents games anymore. This game needs to live in its era. It didn't age well.
Have you ever been to Nolan's Take One Video on the 54th and Capitol?
What is it? It's West 5th Avenue, and it's called Video Giant, bro.
Gex, Enter the Gecko is New Game Plus certified. Yay. But what did you think? We had many people write in. Carrie, who submitted the game, said, back in the day, I had my PS1 and was just itching for some 3D exploration platforming goodness. Croc came and was solid, but Gex had the tood I craved, and this really scratched an itch. Many of the references will be lost on modern day gamers. Heck, many were lost on me then, but Gold's earnest delivery, at least for the U.S. side of the pond, and the game's genuine silly vibe helps smooth over some of the rough edges that might be perceived today. I'd suggest using the manual camera as it's the least jittery of the three, though still frustrating at times. The textures are bright, colorful, and detailed, especially for the time. The music is quality. I particularly like the overworld's take on a Bond theme. I, for one, wouldn't mind seeing Gex come back as an aging, slightly bitter, still wisecracking version of himself.
I'll agree.
Let's go. Yes.
Of course you'll agree. We already said that a few minutes ago. Yes.
Well, I'm that agreeing again.
That would be amazing. His smart aleck bitter at the times and
just like get off my
so
lawn.
Good.
Yeah. Oh. So good. They need
Carrie,
to.
Thank you for your commentary. Thank you for submitting this game in the Patreon pool. And I'm glad that your choice got picked. Astral Soul said, Gex was one of those games I played as a kid, but really don't remember much about it. However, as I played through it this week, it's all coming back to me. That's your Nolan.
Yes.
I definitely enjoyed the themed worlds and 90s pop culture references. Although there's nothing really unique that sets this game apart from other 3D platformers of this era, it's a pretty serviceable game overall. As a fan of a 3D platformer collectathons, there is definitely something here for me to enjoy, but may not be everyone's cup of tea.
We all had the same experience this week. Carrie summed it up perfectly. I had a realization like Astral Soul. What's next?
Kenny's the only curmudgeon here.
Yeah.
I
disagree.
That's not just news.
Sound
I just make
that.
Old man noises.
Yeah.
Clint said this game is in a genre I love on a system I love and I've never played it before this week. Gex is a game that tries too hard to accomplish too little.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
Shut up, Kenny. It offers little, if any, unique gameplay elements, and instead leans primarily on referential material, causing the game to feel like a collage put together for the school science fair. Wow. Science fairs are cool, by the way.
Yeah, they're so sick. Are you kidding?
Volcanoes? The worst part of the game was, without a doubt, the space levels. They are by far the worst example of a breath meter I've ever seen in a video game. Having remote requirements for each section of the hub world was not a bad concept, but it was a terrible and upsetting decision to have the pin ultimate level locked behind a different remote requirement than the final fight. I finished the level, which was meant to goad the final fight, and then the game said, oh, but actually get 6 more. Nostalgia would have had a powerful effect on this game, but if you didn't grow up on the game, I would not recommend it.
Listen, Scholastic is tight, dude.
Voice of Sanity.
Like book fairs?
Book fairs. Isn't that what he...
Oh.
Isn't
no,
that
he
what
said he, science fairs.
Oh, well, science fairs suck. Sorry.
No, science fairs are great.
Science fairs I don't rocked. Like science fairs. Book fairs rocked even harder. All of those things rocked. This game didn't.
Rocked.
This game did. They can all rock. They can all rock, Kenny. Finally, Garlisle said, Tell Time, the audiobook, the video game. A documentary on how pop culture jokes and catchphrases lose their humor pretty quick. It's weird to call Gex a meme lord because that's a more modern terminology than this game was created during, but he absolutely is.
He totally is.
It was solid for its time and still kind of fun today, but with so many more refined and inventive 3D platformers you could play instead, Tell Time has long passed.
Meme lord. Yep. He so is. That's why I love him. I love memes.
Well, Clint and Garlisle, you've got Kenny on your side.
Yeah,
Astral
right.
Soul,
yes,
and Carrie, you've got Nolan and I on your side. Thank you for sending in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week. Each and every week, you can send in your commentary either to ngppodcast@gmail.com or submit in our Discord in the commentary channel. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our show next week. For now, we're going to set aside Gex, Enter the Gecko, and randomly select what game we're going to be playing from our Retro Master list for the next 7 days. Randomizing now. Nolan, we're going to the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, okay.
Is that good?
It can be. It can be.
All right. 2001 in Japan, 2002 North America, 2003 EU.
Wow.
It's an adventure video game developed by Pax Softnica and published by Nintendo.
Okay.
It's based on an anime.
I'm out.
No, dude.
But okay.
I feel like you're going to be the most in of all of us.
No, I'm not.
Where
in.
The player controls a hamster.
Oh, I'm what? More in now that it's what? A hamster.
I'm going to screw this up, but we're playing Hamtaro Ham Hams Unite.
I've maybe heard of Hamtaro. I feel like I should know what that is.
Hamtaro Ham Hams Unite? What is this?
Ham Hams Unite?
I don't know.
Is it aware? Is it hilarious?
Are we the Ham Hams and are we uniting?
Wait, it's for sure aware, right? Ham Hams Unite?
I don't know. No, it's gotta be.
But if it's an anime, I don't know.
You're right. It's the sequel to the 2000 Game Boy Color game.
Say it.
Totoko, yeah. Hamtaro, Tomodachi.
Hamtaro, Daisakusen
Deku. Why do you know Hamtaro?
You said
why
that
do
pretty
I
well.
Know?
Thank you. Anyways, find a copy. This is great. Kenny, it's your first play, I think.
It's your first play.
Why do they always line up?
I think it is,
games?
No.
Kenny,
Nolan
stuck.
Can do it.
No, Nolan just
I think you guys
buddies.
Rig the system.
We don't.
Maybe.
All right. Find a copy and play along with Kenny this week. Hamtaro Ham Hams Unite.
Our Discord is a great place to connect with our community, with us, and just with some nice people. Just this week, I learned about an artist that was just like, hey, do art commissions. And I got one, and it was sick. So join our Discord community by going to ngppodcast.com and clicking Join Us in Discord. Also, I want to plug again that NGP is providing you with your safety and protection during this time of stay at home, quarantine
slash
in place.
Slowly get involved.
Go to the store. But yeah. Wear a mask and be safe. We have themed gaming masks that we are sponsoring in our NGP store. We also have NGP t-shirts that are really sick, and you're going to want to check out our merch.
And we may or may not have a new t-shirt and mask design coming soon. And it looks good, doesn't it, boys?
Oh, my goodness.
I like it.
I'm going to pretend like I've seen it and say it's super sick. Where can they find those, Dustin? Just all the merch?
It's on our T Public store, but you can go to our website, ngppodcast.com, and you can find all the links to all of that goodness there.
Want to also say a big thank you to our newest patron, Fast Eddie.
You're saying it.
Thanks
fast.
So much for hopping on patreon.com and supporting our show. Also, a huge thanks to our producer level supporters. As always, Amarlian, Austin, Binbin, Brojim, Chris, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Michael, Mr. Lattes, Shauna, Zach, and Zion.
What?
You guys.
That list is
are,
so long.
I know. It's a huge group of people that are
Thank
supporting
y'all.
Us, and we're super, super thankful for all that you do.
If you are not yet following us on our social medias, do so. Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All those links can be found in the show notes. And again, join our Discord. There's people that come in every week. They're like, hey, been a fan of the show for a year. Just now decided to come into the Discord community. It's worth it, bro. Do it.
Do it.
You can also listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Hamtaro. That's hilarious, that name.
Ham Ham.
Ham Hams Unite with an exclamation point in the title. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Ham Ham.
I'm Gex.
Okay. And insert 90s reference here. This has been New Game Plus.